Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing of being able to gather together in your name. And it is in your name that we gather this morning, Jesus. We just entrust ourselves to your care, knowing that every intention and purpose of your heart is for our good. And so, Lord, we welcome the ministry of your Spirit this morning. In fact, we know that we're not a people apart from your Spirit. And so we don't ever want to meet as a people apart from your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to do what you love to do. Reveal Jesus to us. Reveal the love of our Father God and pour it out into our hearts to overflowing this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Last week we talked about the importance of praying in the Spirit. Now, what we said was that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray because we don't often know. Sometimes we know what we ought to pray for, but there's lots of times where we don't know what we ought to pray for. I mean, there's no way of knowing. And when you think about the complexity of God's plan, you know, one of the amazing things in the Scripture that always intrigues me is how people who knew God and loved Him and did their best to figure out what he was up to, often got it wrong because, they expect one thing and God does something totally different. One of the things I always say about the Lord is, he's completely consistent and yet totally unpredictable. There's no way you can predict what he's going to do next. But when he does move, looking back at it, you can see it was always in accordance with his intention and purpose and plan, which he had set in his heart before he even began to create. And so we can entrust ourselves to the fact that God knows what he's doing, even though we don't. And that's why the Spirit helps us in our prayers, because often we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what's going on. And so we need to lean on and rely upon and entrust ourselves, even to the point of our prayer life, often to God. And so let's read the first scripture on your page, which is Romans 8:26. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." Now, we know that we are in the midst of present weakness. We're on the way to glory. We have glory in part, but we're still living in the midst of present weakness. We have these bodies that are subject to decay and to even death. And so But the great blessing of God is that he gives us the Spirit to help us in the midst of our weakness. So it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So one of the main characteristics of our already but not yet existence is that we live simultaneously in power and weakness. We have this the Spirit's presence and therefore the Spirit's power, and yet we have it in the midst of this present weakness. In Christ we've become new creatures and we've entered into really to the realm of the future is what the Scripture declares. We've entered into the realm of the future, of the kingdom age. And yet we're still waiting for that kingdom age to be consummated, to come into its fullness of what it's going to be. And the Holy Spirit himself is both the means by which we enter into that reality of being already but not yet, of having entered the future as we're waiting for something else yet to come. And he is the evidence that that's true. Okay, he's the evidence that it's true, and he's the promise that it will come to fulfillment. And so, yet even though we have the Holy Spirit's powerful presence with us, we still live in the weakness of the human condition as we await the redemption of our bodies, which we know will happen when Jesus returns. Now, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be our helper. Remember, he told his disciples, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the helper." And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And the helper, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. All right? One of the realities of our present weakness is that we see in part and we only know in part. Okay, there's no way that we can see it all or we could know it all. And because of that, we don't often know what we should pray for. So the Spirit helps us by interceding for us through wordless groans. Now, we can be confident that when the Spirit is helping us in our praying, that it will be in accordance with God's will. If the Spirit is helping us in what we pray, what we just read says that we know that it will be in accordance with God's will because the Spirit searches and knows the will of God. He knows the deepest things of God's heart, His thoughts, God's emotion, His will, His purpose, okay? So if the Spirit is helping us, we can have confidence that we're going to be praying in accordance with God's will because God and the Spirit are one. Now, the question that we asked last week is, what does this form of Spirit-helped praying look like? Okay, so this Spirit-helped praying, what does it look like? What does it sound like? Now, one thing that it's certainly not is silence, because it says in wordless groans, right? There's no such thing as groans that are silent. And so this kind of prayer, as were all prayers in antiquity, is verbalized. It's just done so in a way that's wordless, that's inarticulate. That doesn't mean that there's not sound. That doesn't mean that there's not even words per se, but it's words that are inarticulate because we're speaking kind of in a way that transcends our mind. It bypasses our spirit connecting with the Holy Spirit in a way that bypasses even our own understanding as we connect with God to pray for something that is beyond our understanding. Okay? That's what we're talking about. And so there's different ways of describing this. It can be called prayer in tongues. It can be called prayer in the Spirit. It can be called a prayer language, which is probably my favorite way of expressing it, because I think that's most ideally what it is. It's a language that we use when we're praying. Now, I asked Catherine, because I didn't know anything about this praying in the Spirit until Catherine, my wife, was really impacted by the power of it. And so I asked her just to kind of share this morning about what it meant to her and how it all happened. You ready? No backing out now.
There was a time in our life where I would say when we were reading the scripture just now, and it was talking about.
Speaking of weakness.
Speaking of weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. When it was in, our daughter was 1 year old, and we had found out that Gray had a bone condition, and it was affecting most of the joints in his body. And at that time, he had to have surgery, multiple surgeries. We had to move very quickly because we were living in a house that had a lot of stairs, and he was unable to go up and down the stairs because of the condition in his bones. And so we had to move. And so during that time, there were so many things happening in our life at one time that were difficult to deal with. They were, it was hardship. Gray was, because of his condition and because of having to have surgery, his business wasn't doing well. And so I was working full time, had two small children, actually three small children. And this is interesting. We're talking about relying on the Holy Spirit. And so when Gray asked me to speak this morning, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to write anything down. I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit to give me the words. And I know all of y'all love me, but for some reason I'm very nervous right now. But I was really struggling. I did trust God. I knew who He was. I trusted Him implicitly, but I was struggling with all of the emotions that I was having. I didn't really understand what was happening, and I in a way, I kind of like felt like Job, like all kind of stuff just kept happening, one thing after another. And so I was actually reading a book, and it was the study of Job. And so I had gotten, the only time I could really have any quiet time pretty much with three small children was get up in the middle of the night. And so I began to do that, get up in the middle of the night to spend time with God. But the truth is, you know, we were talking about, last week we were talking about how we pray, but we also need to listen. You know, a lot of times when we're struggling, it's very hard to pray. We really do get to a place where we don't know what to pray anymore. And one night I got up and I was reading this book, which is really kind of wild because now that I think about it, it's kind of like, why was I studying Job? I mean, that was the old covenant. We have the new covenant. We have the Holy Spirit. But see, even though I didn't understand, even though I didn't know that at that moment in time, God is so good that in my emotions, I finally just like, I broke down. I got down on my knees in the kitchen and I said, God, if you don't do something, I am not going to make it. I can't take this anymore. It's just too much. There's too many things happening in my life. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit I began to pray in a prayer language. And I had prayed before to have a prayer language, and I hadn't gotten one. But all of a sudden, in that great moment of need and not knowing what to pray, God showed up. And I was on my knees praying, and it was like this, it felt like I was only there for a few moments. And I got up and I looked at the clock. I had been on my knees for 2 hours, and I had no idea that I would have been on my knees for 2 hours. It just was a moment in time where God showed up. And I will tell you, it was great weakness. And it was, when I got up, it was really one of the things that was so profound to me is that God gave me this peace that totally passes understanding, because all of my circumstances were still the same. All of them were still the same. And so he is able to do things that we can't even think or imagine when we just submit to his Spirit.
Yeah. So from my perspective, things changed that night for sure, because all of a sudden, you know, Catherine was a different person. Now she had a new mechanism, which is not a mechanism, it's a new power for coping, you know, for just being able to make it, you know. There's nothing like God's strength in our weakness. You know, it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, he actually got criticized for his weakness. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about, you know, not only am I not ashamed of my weakness, I'm going to boast in my weakness. Because I know that in my weakness is where the power of God shows up. Why does it show up there? It's because that's where we need the power of God. That's where we need him to show up. That's where, and that's where he loves to show up. You know, we're strong, you know, of course we always need him. But in our own mind, where we're strong, you know, that's the last place that we think we need God, is where I've got it. You know, I've got this, God. I don't need you. But it's yet in those moments of weakness is where he comes and meets our need. And so, you know, from that moment forward, Catherine started having, you know, she started exhibiting this peace that, you know, gosh, I had not seen in her before. And like we said last week, you know, it's not that we stop praying with our understanding, because she continued to pray, you know, that God would do what he needed to do to heal me and for us to get through our our situation and circumstance and just to make it through, you know, to pray in such a way that she understood what she was praying. But, you know, praying in the Spirit allows you to enter into a realm of prayer that, transcends our understanding. And, you know, for me, it's one of the great tools that God has given us in our prayer lives in order to be able to cope with the, being already creatures in the midst of a not yet creation. You know, as we're in this present weakness, you know, we've got this glory inside of us and we know there's something yet to come. You know, there's a moment that we know, and it's not just confidence, it's not just faith. The way the Bible puts it is we have this hope, this assurance that there's going to come a day when we're redeemed in such a way that, you know, there's going to be no more sickness and no more crying and no more pain and no more weakness, okay? That day is coming. We know that without a doubt. Christ has made it absolute. The Spirit is the evidence of it and the guarantee of it. It's absolutely going to happen. But until then, we're living in weakness. And we need God's help. And one of the great tools he's given us to help us is this what Paul calls, you know, and so Paul says, I'm going to pray with my spirit. And I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to do both. You know, and we want to be able to do both. And we said last week, you know, I asked everybody, well, how many of you were taught how to pray in the Spirit when you were being raised in the church? And there was three of us out of the group. And, you know, it's really not something that that we do a very good job of teaching people how to do. And yet, it's one of the great tools that God has given us to be able to persevere, to be able to agree with him and what his will and purpose is in our lives. And so, now, you know, we've taught about this before, you know, and you know, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul goes into a tremendous amount of detail about not praying. When not speaking in tongues, okay? Because that's what we're talking about, right? That's what a prayer language is. It's speaking in tongues. And he goes into a good bit of detail about not speaking in tongues in a church meeting. He said, unless, of course, there is an interpretation to go along with it. And the reason that he did that was the Corinthians were, they were a group of people who way overemphasized the already and underemphasized the not yet. In other words, they thought they had arrived into this great spiritual realm and reality, and the evidence of that was this praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. It was like the heavenly language, the language of angels. They felt like they were speaking. And so when they would come together in their meetings, they basically would all just start blurting out and speaking in tongues to where it was just a cacophonous sort of noise. To the point where people would come in, if somebody from the outside would come in and they'd hear everybody speaking it in this way, you know, basically they'd think we're crazy to do that, which we don't want to do because we don't want to turn people off to who Jesus is. And so Paul's point is the whole idea behind a church meeting, what we want to have happen in our church meetings is the edification of the church, the building up of the body. All right? And he's saying if everybody is talking in a way that nobody understands, tongues without interpretation, there is no edification of the body that goes on. There is no building up of the body. Now, he also says that it's important to do this. Don't forbid people from speaking in tongues. Don't, you know, but, you know, just do it in an appropriate way. And he says if it happens in the church, allow it two or three times, but just make sure there's an interpretation along with it. Now, keep in mind who he was talking to. He was talking to a bunch of people that's what they were making their whole meetings about. Okay? People had swung way over to the other side of the pendulum, all right? Now, for some reason, even though Paul says very plainly at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, do not forbid to speak in tongues, there's a whole other section of the church that forbids people from speaking in tongues. Says don't do it. And so we, you know, we want to find the happy tension in the middle, right? Now, One of the other things that is very clear in the scripture is one of the things that we do as a body, you know, it's, in fact, I put it on the last, that's the last scripture on your page. It says, so Christ himself, this is Ephesians 4:11, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, to equip the body for ministry. That's why he gives us these things, these people. So that the body of Christ may be, what? Built up, may be edified, until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So God has given us ministry so that we can come together and build one another up in the faith. All right? One of the ways that we are built up in the faith is by allowing the Spirit to help us in our weakness. And so, you know, even though it's said to all right, we're obviously, this is a church meeting, right? All right, but we're family here, right? Yeah, we're family here. I mean, and so yeah, much more, both figuratively and literally, in Richard's case. All right, so if this isn't a safe place for us to be released into speaking in this kind of prayer, where the Spirit helps us in our weakness, then where is? Right? I mean, where is a safe place if we're not going to be, trained in how to do this, to be free, to be able to be allowed, and how to, you know, released into this, so that we can take it, and when our time's alone with the Lord, be able to pray in such a way. And so, you know, so I definitely don't think, because I get asked a lot, okay, well, you know, this prohibition against speaking in tongues without interpretation, what does that mean? How does that relate to singing in the Spirit, for instance? Well, you know, I don't believe it relates to singing in the Spirit at all. I believe there's a perfectly appropriate time in the midst of worship to be able to sing in the Spirit, where you're allowing your spirit to connect with God's Spirit and to bring forth utterance that is beautiful and harmonious when the whole body is entering into it, okay? Because in that kind of situation, it's not about one word being spoken. It's about a sound, a collective sound being woven together by the Spirit and ascending into heaven, touching God's heart in a way that otherwise wouldn't be, okay? So Paul says also in that First Corinthians 14 passage, he says, I pray with my mind and I sing with my mind, or my understanding, but I also pray in the Spirit and I sing with the Spirit. Now, me personally, okay, so first of all, I want everybody here to know that we're free to sing in the Spirit. In these meetings, okay? We're free to sing in the Spirit. I don't see any biblical prohibition against that. Okay? We're free to sing in the Spirit. We're free to pray in the Spirit. Because to me, that's clearly something that we're instructed to do. All right? So to me, the one thing that we're not really free to do is to give messages based on tongues without an interpretation. But that's a different expression of what that gift is. Okay? So, I know for me, so after I saw Catherine and what a big difference it made in her life, just being able to enter into this new kind of Spirit-enabled prayer with God, you know, I wanted to enter it into myself. And so for a long time, I'd have people pray for me because I felt like, you know, since it's a gift, when we think about a gift, we think, okay, it's something that all of a sudden somebody needs to pray for you for it, and then you'll enter into it. It's just kind of like that. All of a sudden, it'll be magical, mystical, whatever. But that's not the way that it works, really. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are nothing more than tangible manifestations of the grace of God in our lives, and the grace of God in our lives is present 24/7, all of our life in Christ, the grace of God is there to supply to us whatever tangible manifestation of that grace is necessary for the moment. And often, those tangible expressions of grace are necessary as we're in the midst of our weakness and trying to enter into prayer. Okay? So, you know, so I would pray. I'd ask people to pray. I never received, received my prayer language. But you know, that it didn't mean that I didn't see the value of it in the scripture, because it's clearly there. For me, it was much easier to enter into this by singing in the Spirit than by talking in the Spirit. And that's how I kind of learned to enter in, because it is, you know, this is something that we learn to do as we step out and do it. Okay? Yeah, we have to just allow our mind to cut loose and do it. And so for me, there was something about in times of worship, because obviously the Spirit's moving in times of worship in a very special way lots of times. And so in times of worship, you know, just by allowing your voice to go into the worship, and, you know, and really when, you know, when your voice is coming just from kind of deep inside of you, all right, just allowing your voice to harmonize with the, you know, with the sound, and then allow that to flow into speech, all of a sudden I realize, whoa, I'm singing in the Spirit. And it was easy. And it was great. It was refreshing. And then that singing in the Spirit, I'd be alone and I'd just start singing, humming in the Spirit or whatever, and singing in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm talking in the Spirit as I'm praying. So for me personally, that was a great way just to kind of enter in. And so again, I want everybody to know you have permission to do that here. You know, obviously, if you go to a church where this wouldn't be welcome, then you don't have permission to do it there. I can't give you permission to do it there. But I can give you permission to do it here. And if it gets to the point where we're whacked out about it, like the Corinthians, then we'll take care of that then. It's not going to get to that point, though. Okay? So, Fred, what do you say we start worshiping? All right, and so, yes. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah.